Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. In the 2014 Oscar-nominated film Her, a writer falls for his highly advanced operating system. The film is rosy compared to typical Hollywood movies about artificial intelligence, for instance, Terminator or iRobot. These films depict a violent clash between technology and humanity. James Barrett, author of Our Final Invention, Artificial Intelligence in the End of the Human Era, thinks the second movie scenario is more likely. But he notes there's a major flaw with the hostile fictional portrayal of AI. On the silver screen, humans always win, but in reality, AI could be what destroys mankind. Barrett told Current State's Emmanuel Berry that he wrote the book to share the idea that artificial intelligence is a dual-use technology.
It's not unlike other dual-use technologies like nuclear fission. Nuclear fission can light up a city, provide power, or it can burn up a city. Advanced artificial intelligence can give us terrific benefits, and we're already seeing a lot of them in our lives today. But on the development road with advanced AI, we're going to see problems, and we're already seeing some. But the biggest problems are ahead when we share the planet with machines that are as smart as we are and then smarter.
How far are we from developing kind of these self-improving software that you talk about in your book?
Well, the mean date for developing advanced AI, so that AGI, artificial general intelligence, which is as smart as humans, the mean date when I polled AI experts is about 2045. Ray Kurzweil, who's been a great technology prognosticator, estimates around 2029, and I'm more or less with him. I think we've seen such rapid advances in intelligent cognitive architectures that we'll see something pretty human-like in a decade or two.
So when you say that it's not just good or not just bad, that it could head into kind of this potentially dangerous territory, I mean, what does that mean? Why is it dangerous?
In the short term, there are a lot of examples already of advanced AI being abused by people. The NSA privacy scandal is actually an AI issue. The NSA wouldn't be able to do anything with their ocean of metadata about our phone calls or the entire transmission contents of the Internet, which they've also been siphoning off and searching. They couldn't do anything with that data with their minds alone. So what they've developed are extremely powerful data mining algorithms. And that's AI. These smart algorithms dive into an ocean of data and pull out your address book if they want it, and everyone you've written to, you know, ever, or had conversations with. So that's one example. The other one, we're facing a debate right away about whether or not we want to create autonomous drones and battlefield robots. Autonomous drones are drones that make the kill decision without a human in the loop. They're smart enough to recognize a target, corroborate that target with another drone or some other system, and then kill them. 56 nations are developing battlefield robots, and the gold standard soon will be autonomy. Can these machines get out on a battlefield and attack combatants without human supervision? The Pentagon just said about a week ago that by 2030, they want 25% of combat troops to be robots, and that includes drones, devices that carry equipment, but also battlefield robots, gun-wielding battlefield robots. So that's in the short term. In the longer term, we face gigantic challenges when we create machines smarter than we are. Now, already in our sights, there are a lot of companies right now that want to create AGI, or artificial general intelligence, and that's human-level intelligence. That's IBM, Google. Companies like DeepMind, just bought by Google, Vicarious is another up-and-comer. You know, DARPA wants to create human-level intelligence in a machine. Once we achieve that milestone, intelligence greater than ours will be right around the corner. And that's a gigantic question mark. A lot of unexpected behaviors are going to come out of that, and we need to be ready for that. And that's really what Our Final Invention is about, getting ready for smarter than human intelligence.
I mean, but right now, like you said, with the drones and the NSA, there's still a human element in that loop. I mean, how does it go and evolve to the point where we're no longer in that loop?
To understand what superintelligence will do, you have to be that smart yourself. On a general level, we govern the future. We you know, among all the creatures on Earth, we govern the future not because we're the strongest or the fastest, but because we're the most intelligent. When we share the planet with smarter than human machines, they will steer the future. And the way that goes wrong is we expect that the things that we program, the machines that we create, will follow our instructions, and they'll be essentially benign or benevolent. They'll either leave us alone or they'll like us. But superintelligence does not imply benevolence. And advanced modeling by some AI experts that I quote in my book, modeling about superintelligent behavior suggests that superintelligent machines will have basic drives that are much like our own, including resource acquisition and self-protection. They won't want to be turned off, and they'll want plenty of energy with which to achieve their objectives. So no matter what we design these superintelligent machines to do, they will ultimately end up competing for resources with us, and they won't be easily governable. We don't have anything like an approach for governing superintelligence now. My hope, and the reason I wrote the book, is so that we develop it, a real science for understanding superintelligence, before we introduce that superintelligence to the planet.
What's the other side of the argument? I mean, you mentioned it a little bit, but why can't software and machines kind of evolve with us? I mean, why can't they just be nice?
Well, superintelligence doesn't imply benevolence. You know, your toaster isn't evil, nor is it really, really kind. It's somewhere in the middle. It's amoral. It doesn't have ethics. If we can't program ethics into the machines, they won't have any. They won't develop them on their own. So there's a couple of groups that are trying to understand how you would develop friendliness, you know, side by side with really intelligent machines. And there's one group called MIRI, the Machine Intelligence Research Institute, that's trying to develop friendly AI, AI that's friendly, you know, from inception. But it's really, really hard. And, you know, meanwhile, while some people are focused on friendly AI, there's billions and billions of dollars focused on decidedly unfriendly AI in the form of battlefield robots and autonomous drones. So the money's going towards aggressive AI. But to play devil's advocate, in the short term, you know, AI is a wonderful technology. We use it for search, for navigation, for all kinds of things. It plays, you know, chess better than we do, and now it's just recently it defeated the champions at Jeopardy. It's writing sports articles. I go through a lot of, you know, the really useful achievements of AI in my book.
How aware do you think the mainstream is of the dangers of developing software and technology like this?
Well, the difference, one of the reasons I wrote Our Final Invention is to help get the word out. There have been people who've written about the downside of AI before, but most of what we've gotten about runaway AI is from Hollywood. And Hollywood is about entertainment, not about scientific education.
Mm-hmm.
So the general public thinks that bad robots and bad AI are the mainstays of Hollywood. They don't understand, most people don't get that these technologies are very, very volatile. In the wrong hands. And it's not just the technology. The technology is sensitive, but our applications of it are flawed. If I use nuclear fission as a good parallel, when nuclear fission was first thought of in the 1920s and 30s and before, it was a way to split the atom and get free energy. We, the public, learned about fission at Hiroshima. It had been rapidly weaponized for use in war. And then for the next 50 years, we as a species had a gun pointed at our own heads, threatening ourselves with annihilation. Advanced AI is just like that. We've developed wonderful, useful applications, but it's already been weaponized. And at more advanced levels, it can slip out of our hands. It can slip out of control. So, you know, a lot of people, including me, are trying to get the word out so that a big public debate starts about the ethics and safety of advanced AI applied to robots, applied to drones, applied to smart homes.
The picture you lay out, it's fairly bleak, to be honest. But as you said with this book, one of your intentions was to try and get information out. But beyond, you know, just spreading information, what's being done or what should be done to prevent advanced technology from taking over?
Well, here's a really good example. The best example of, you know, with advanced technologies, our stewardship runs way behind our innovation. We invent something, and then we chase behind it trying to clean up after it. What's happened that's really significant and important is the sale of DeepMind to Google. DeepMind is a very good startup AI company in from the UK. Google just purchased them about a week and a half ago for $400 million. The founders of DeepMind included in that sale, or made a requirement in that sale, of a committee to be established at Google to govern the safety and ethics of AI. So in one fell swoop, they've acknowledged that AI is a potentially dangerous technology. It can be applied unethically. And then they've set a new standard for everyone who has an AI company or who wants to sell their AI company. Here's the bar now. The bar is, when you sell your company, make sure that there's an ethics and safety board included with it. The people who are thinking about AI risk are just absolutely thrilled by this development and will be closely watching how it pans out, how the committee's created, what the protocols the committee recommends are.
I think that concept that you mentioned there is kind of the most chilling for me in reading this book, the idea of not just of the human species demise, but the idea that we'll no longer be at the top of that totem pole. It's kind of such a science fiction cliche, but a terrifying potential reality. Why is that so scary? I mean, is it scary for you?
Yes. I mean, I think I didn't write the book because I was afraid. I wrote the book because I was hypnotized by the technology, and it's absolutely enchanting. And I think one of the reasons, you can see autonomy in machines growing and our autonomy decreasing. You know, most of the trades on Wall Street are made by machines. Most of our infrastructure of power, transportation, and water run on really powerful AI algorithms. We're all addicted to our smartphones. Mine is rarely out of my pocket. This technology is extremely useful, and we are ceding our autonomy to it. We're handing over bits of our autonomy little by little. One interesting thing that all the AI experts agreed with when I basically said, here's a proposition, do you agree or disagree? And I said, in 100 years, all the major decisions about our lives will be made by machines. And pretty much they all nodded their heads and went, yep, that's the way we're headed. So the question is that a handover or a takeover?
James Barrett is the author of Our Final Invention, Artificial Intelligence and the End of the Human Era. James, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
For Current State, I'm Emmanuel Berry.